broadcasting live from somewhere in the desert, posting up truth like a stamp in the corner of a letter. It's Leander Grace, That Loud. Amid lies, we seek truth. Amid truth, we awaken. And once awakened, we speak truth everywhere. Now we're opening night and powering to reveal what's been hidden in plain sight. It's time for Leander Grace Out Loud, because your silence will not protect you. Oh, good evening once again, and a hearty hello to Lottie Dottie and every other body, and a great big shout out to all of you MAGA patriots, maybe in an honor or two, and of course those on the road folks. Salute out to you, and my heart and compassion towards you folks, and a salute to our Space Force Rangers as well. Welcome to our namesake program, Holistic Truth. I am your host, Leander Grace. It is Wednesday, December 13th, 2023, and we are broadcasting live from the High Mountain Desert. I continue to hold a space of peace, love, and grace in solidarity with patriots worldwide as this great awakening continues to accelerate across the face of the earth. And guys, I want you to know it's going to blow up real big tonight. We got some stuff to bring you. Our goal today, as it is every day, is to help relieve suffering through empowerment by shining our light on and getting to the holistic truth. It remains a very exciting time to be alive and aware and awake and about the business of this one thing, Azoth Dua, the ancient commitment. And that's what we'll be speaking about this evening as well as we capture our topics. For those who join us here for the first time, let me define this term for you. Holistic truth, just as holistic medicine refers to the total care of the human body through the mind, body, and spirit, holistic truth refers to the viewing, the treating, and the healing of our human experience through empathy, compassion, leading us ultimately to forgiveness. We will talk about it all, folks, about the physical and the metaphysical, the scriptural and the secular, historical, hysterical, and some politically mundane, very little of that tonight. And we will be blowing up all those little non sequiturs. It is a scriptural program tonight, folks. Remember, I told you not too long ago that these would all merge as Holy Spirit takes control of the programs and starts putting everything towards a certain direction, whether I or you realize and recognize it or not. And tonight is the night to recognize. Remember, too, as you listen to the broadcast or the podcast, pod people, we love you, too. Question everything. We're not part of the legacy media. I do not expect me to take you at my word. It is not my place to convince you. We are here to spread the light. Therefore, tonight on this program, take on everything, because everything is for everyone. Everything in the broadcast tonight is for everyone. Be a good Berean. Research what you hear so you can own your own experience. Now, I got a big bunch of stuff to bring tonight. It's pretty powerful. It's the prophecy. It's pretty big. And it was quite a bit coming to me. And once I was able to see this, and I'm going to show you, and I'm going to see if you see the same thing, it is a two-hour broadcast completely devoted to the topics of the throne room, Ezekiel's vision, and all the rest that you see there on the Blog Talk Radio page. We are going to fly through the scriptures backwards, really, really fast. Backwards. And that's how we're going to do it, because that's the way we're going to find the answers to all of our questions and the questions that's on everybody's mind and we've been asking for a very long time is nothing other than, who are the four living creatures, what are the wheels, and the 24 elders? And we're going to answer that tonight. And I think that you will find this evening that we have rightly divided the word of truth, and I expect folks to dig through this analysis this evening and try to put holes in it, because that's the only way that we can do the test of truth. Pro-test. We are proving this through testing this, but I think anyone who has been through Bible school a little bit will understand where this is coming from and where this is going. And we're going to also, I think, at the end of the broadcast, understand that, yes, the Book of Yasher is canonized. It is worthy of being called canon. And I think we'll find that at the end. Now, is it Torah? Well, actually, it's referred to it. We'll get to that. But it is definitely, in my book, a manuscript and a scripture worthy to be considered canon. Let me get a drink. And I'll explain that as we go, and I think that you'll understand as well. Now, usually we do a little political stuff at the beginning of it, and tonight's theme is revealing all the players. And so the only player really that I have to reveal tonight, and I want to do it at the beginning of the broadcast, because then I want to devote the rest of it to the four living creatures, the wheels, and the 24 elders. And this is subtitled From Israel to the King. It started with the beer, as shall we. Oh, I love Holy Spirit is punny and full of double entendres. Let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer with this, because this is a big program for me to deliver, and I think you guys will get excited. And if I do a fairly good job, you all will be putting the pieces together before we are halfway through. There was only a small piece of knowledge that we needed, and a little bit more as an evangelical, to go back to none other than my sister Judah and find out what she had to say about all this. And I am talking about those scriptures. There are two witnesses. So let's go ahead and take this program to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you, and I worship you, and I praise your name for what you gave me to bring here this evening. May I do it justice, and may I give it your glory that you want to shine through this broadcast this evening, through this teaching. May they see you and your Holy Spirit and your plan shine through, and may I do that justice in your eyes. May this program bless the hearts of those who join it, and Father, rather than soaking the dreams and pulling apart the hopes, perhaps this message will be radiant enough to have your children bend their knee and bow their heads and see that you are a holy God, and you expect, require, and deserve a holy and pure worship. We lift this up to you in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach Nagid, who we call Jesus. Amen. And to continue on in that note, so that everyone that's listening understands the weight of the broadcast this evening. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Shayim Kivot, Melukoto Leolam Vayed. Amen. So let's go ahead and take a look at the scriptures. It's going to be chock full, but before we do, I just want to say this about that. Biden is not Biden. Biden hasn't been Biden since 2013. I do believe that Biden was shot and killed by Obama and his thugs because he saw Michelle's penis in the Oval Office and he didn't keep his mouth shut. So they had him off, and his brother was filling in for him all of this time. And now there seems to be something else filling in for him, and it's Castle Rock. It's a movie. They're fooling the American people. We're revealing that. It'll either pan out or it will not. Now let's continue on with the broadcast. Now, guys, I want to tell you that Holy Spirit is with us this evening. And I'm going to ask for you guys for your prayers, because it becomes difficult to catch my breath sometimes when the Holy Spirit is moving on a broadcast, and this one has the Spirit all over it. So let's go ahead and take a look at the scriptures that we have here, and I want to go ahead and give them a list to you. And if you want to, this is one where you guys, we're going to want to take notes. We're going to answer the question of who are the four living creatures, both sets of four living creatures, the wheels, and the 24 elders. We're going to start in Revelation 4:7, and we're going to go over it. then we're going to go into Ezekiel 1, and then we're going to go over it. And then we're going to drop down to bullet point number 4, and we're going to talk about Jacob's beard. We're going to follow this shadow. Remember, we were told that this is a shadow of things to come. Well, the things to come were in Revelation. We were revealed what is to come, and we're going to talk about that picture. We're going to talk about the holiness of the picture and some of the things that we might have missed, some of the things that are right, that are the same, and some of the things that are different, and why that may be. So let's go ahead and take a look at that for those of you. Let me go ahead and give you, you're going to want to take notes. Let me go ahead and give you the list of scriptures right up front. And I'm talking slowly so that you can get your pen and you can get your paper and you can get ready for all of this, because we're going to hit Revelation 4:7. And I'll have these all posted here in a little bit. But I didn't want to give them away too far ahead because I wanted to bring you on this journey. So we're going to do Revelation 4:7, and when we talk about that just a little bit, then we're going to hit Ezekiel 1:1-28. And then we're going to talk a little bit about Joshua, the book of Joshua, and then we're going to hit Genesis, and then we're going to hit Numbers, we're going to hit Chronicles, we're going to hit Joshua again. And we're going to talk about this repeating itself that may or may not be recognized by the different congregations that are of the children of Israel. Because understand, people, when we get into the Revelation scene, there are no Gentiles. There are no Catholics there. We'll find that out. There's no Protestants there. There's no Baptists there. We're going to find that out. We're going to see what it is that's there and see if perhaps it's what we expect it to be. So go ahead, for those of you who want to follow me in the scriptures, go ahead and turn to Revelation 4:7, and we're going to take a look at that scripture very, very quickly and all the things around it. We're pretty familiar with it. We've said it over and over and over again. We've read over it. So what we're seeing here in Revelation 4 is after he got the letter from the church, he just says, and immediately, we're going with Revelation 4, verse 2, and immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven. So this throne is in heaven, and one sat on the throne. He that sat on the throne looked upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And now we know this. It's defining its own prophecy. The lamps, fire burning, are the 7 spirits of God. This we know. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face of a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the 4 beasts, each of them had six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rested not day or night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when these beasts give glory and honor to God and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns, these people, these folks have crowns, cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. So we see immediately, it's already telling us where it is, it's in heaven. This is occurring in heaven. And we have a throne, and we have one sitting on the throne, and we have the rainbow going around, and we have all of these things, and we have these living creatures with 6 wings. They got eyes everywhere. We got lightnings and thunders and things happening. And we got lamps burning and stuff like that in the sea of glass. So what we do know is that they are living creatures, which means they have the breath of life, which means they cannot be angels. Angels do not have the breath of life. And then we also have the 24 elders and their crowns. And angels don't have crowns. So they're a very specific group of individuals there. And the beasts, the living beasts, are a very specific set of things, a very specific spirit, very specific beast. So we're going to take a look at that. We're going to leave that there. We're not going to question any of it. We just leave that there. It's kind of stuff we've gone over. There's crowns, there's this, that. We can go on for 6 days on these verses alone and never get to the depth of it because we end up chasing our tails because we don't know what it means. So let's go ahead and go to Ezekiel 1:1 and find out what the similarities and differences are in this vision. And then, we're going to be able to finish most of this preparatory stuff, step one and two, right? Preparatory stuff. So now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the 4th month, in the 5th day of the month, where Ezekiel 1:1, as I was among the captives by the river of Kabar, so they were already in exile, and the heavens were opened up. Oh, so he is by the river of Kabar, location, 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 that the heavens were opened up, and I saw visions of God. And in the 5th day of the month, which was the 5th year of King Jehoiakim's captivity, the word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Kibar, and the hand of the Lord was there upon him. So here we're going to get into the vision started in verse 4, but we've got our location. This is where he's at. And then what did he say? The hand of the Lord was on him. The hand of Yahweh was upon him. And that has a particular weight to it as well. He says, and I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud. We need to look north too. We have a southern border. We have a northern border. Thought I'd throw that in there. It's going to happen throughout the broadcast. Holy Spirit's going to jump on in there and throw stuff up. That's the kind of broadcast this is going to be this evening. So just hang on to all of your bupkis because we're gonna get all of this going. I looked and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud and a fire enfolding itself, and a brightness was about it, and out of the midst thereof, as the color of amber, out of the midst of the fire. Now this is, for lack of a better way to put it, this is a portal. The heavens are opened up. This is a portal. Something's coming through. This is a very active thing occurring, and out of the midst thereof came the likeness of 4 living creatures. And this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. Now, I want to stop us there because over in Revelation, what we're seeing in Revelation 4:7 is it was the creatures. There was no likenesses of 4 living creatures. So this becomes visionary, perhaps. And this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. We'll come back to that. And everyone had 4 faces, and everyone had 4 wings, and their feet were straight feet, and the sole of their feet was like the soles of a calf's foot, and they sparkled like the color of burnished brass. Was it the feet that sparkled or the whole thing that sparkled? And they had the hands of a man under the wings on their 4 sides. This is important. And all of this is important, but this is kind of cool stuff here. And they 4 had their faces and their wings. And their wings were joined. They only have 4 wings here. There's not 6 wings. They only have 4 wings. And their wings were joined one to another. So they turned them out and they touched each other, right? And their likenesses of the faces, they had 4, the face of a man, the face of a lion, on the right side. And they had 4 had the face of an ox on the left side. They 4 also had the face of an eagle. So we're going to need to find out what these faces are about. They're not too difficult, but what is the rest of it? And these were their faces, all right? So, and their wings were stretched upward. Two wings on every one were joined to one another, and two covered their bodies. So they were, their bodies were covered. Now I want to draw your picture, your attention to some of the illustrations that we have for this vision out on the internet are incorrect. In fact, the one that I have here on Blog Talk Radio that shows the front of a man with his shoulders bare, that's incorrect. That's not what this vision says. This vision says that their bodies are covered and that the only place that the hands are coming out is underneath those wings. Is that right? Okay. So this is what we've got. We don't have the shoulders showing. It's not a person. The middles are covered, but it has the face of a man, the face of an ox, the face of a lion, and the face of an eagle. Those are the four faces. Where do those faces come from? And their feet were straight, and the sole of their feet was like the soles of a calf, and oh, we already get there. Okay, so we're going to, and the likeness of their faces, they had four of the face, we got that. Now we're at 11, or 12 rather, and they went, and this is so much, and they went everyone straight forward, whether the spirit was to go, they went, and they turned not when they went. This is very specific. As for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire, and the appearance of lamps. Of what? Of lamps. My goodness. And it went up and down among the living creatures, and the fire was bright, and out of the fire went forth lightning. So here we have fire and lightning again. We had it in the throne. Now we have it in the vision of the throne room. And the living creatures ran and returned as the appearance of a flash of lightning. So when lightning happened, they were pum, pum, right? Okay, so here we go that. There's something else going on with that. We'll come back to a different teaching. And we'll come back to that. Now, as I beheld the living creatures, behold, one wheel upon the earth by the living creatures with his four faces. So there's a wheel there by the living creature that has four faces. The appearance of the wheels and their work, burl. And they had four, had one likeness. All four of the wheels had the same appearance, right? They had the same likeness. And their appearance and their work was as it were a wheel in the middle of a wheel. So we got the wheels within the wheels, right? And they went, and when they went upon their four sides, and they turned not when they went. And as for their rings, they were so high that they were dreadful, and their rings were full of eyes round about them four. And when the living creatures went, this is important, the wheels went by them. And when the living creatures were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up. Whithersoever the spirit was to go, they went. Thither was their spirit to go. And the wheels were lifted up over against them, for the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. Now we almost, when we hear this, we can almost taste what this means, right? It's like we almost know what this means. And this is what I've been in prayer about, and this is why I haven't been on social media. I've needed to get to this. The Father gave it to me, and I'm bringing it to you tonight. When those went, these went. And when those stood, these stood. And when those were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up over them, against them. And the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. And the likeness of the firmament upon the heads of the living creatures. Where was the firmament? Upon the heads of the living creatures. So this firmament is being carried on the heads of the living creatures. And it was the color of a terrible crystal stretched forth over the heads above. Now that's awesome. It doesn't necessarily mean, but it says the color of fearful ice in the other ones. And it also in the direct, in the heads of them, in one of the, it's the ice. It's a dreadful ice, okay? And under the firmament were their wings straight, and one toward the other, and everyone had two, which covered this side, and everyone had two, which covered that side of their bodies. And when they went, they heard the noise of the wings like the noise of the great rushing great waters, as the voice of the Almighty, the voice of speech, as the noise of a host, when they stood, they let down their wings. And there was a voice from the firmament that was over their heads, and when they stood, and they had let down their wings. And above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness. We're dealing with likenesses here. Was it the throne of God? No, it was the likeness of a throne, as the appearance of a sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above it. And I saw the color of amber as the appearance of fire round about it, from the appearance of his loins even upward, and from the appearance of it, it's the appearance of his loins even downward. Best guess. And I saw it as it were the appearance of fire, and it had brightness round about it. Here's a clue. The very last verse. As the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. Are we not seeing this the same thing in the throne room? We've got that little rainbow thingy happening, right? So was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell on my face. And I heard a voice of one that spoke. I bet you he fell on his face because he knew what was coming at him. Ezekiel knew exactly what he was seeing. And it darn near loosened his bowels. And I understand why, being who he was, seeing what he saw, knowing what he knew. What did he know? Well, let's take a look at that. He says, and he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me, and he set me upon my feet. We've seen this happen in the book of truth, in the word of truth, in the gospel of truth, that I heard him that spake unto me. Now, we're going to stop right there. We're going to come back on the other side of the break with this. We're going to start right here. We're not going to go real far, but we do need to get this in. This is such an important vision and such an important admonition that's coming in the second chapter, that we, as the children of Israel, we as the Northern Kingdom, there are no Catholics, there are no Baptists, there are no Protestants, there are none of those things in the kingdom of God. And we're seeing that. We're going to see that by the end of this, and by the end of this episode, we're also going to canonize the book of Joshua. I kid you not. I think you'll be on board with me on it. We'll see how that goes. I am your host, Leanne Grace, reminding you that Lady O'Grady, Lady No Grady has a new cut out, new song out. You can find it at ladynograde.com. Give her the bucks. Download it. Do all that stuff. Let's support those who are working hard so that we have things like this to play on air. Ladynograde.com, a modern-day holy war. This is where we're at. We're going to talk about which side of the line we want to finish on and what that's going to look like by the end of the broadcast. I am your host, Leanna Grace. We're going to be back. We're going to be talking about who are the living creatures, the wheels, and the 24 elders. lies, we seek truth. Amid truth, we awaken. It's Leander Grace Out Loud, because your silence will not protect you. Oh no, your silence will not protect you. My silence will not protect you. And refusing to hear this is no help to anyone whatsoever. I am your host, Leander Grace. We're going to unpack some things. We're going to reveal some things. We're going to reveal the players in this pageantry, and we're going to bring it all the way back to when the first instructions that we know of were given. And we're going to trace the shadow back. So we've been talking about Revelation 4:7, the throne room, and now we're talking about Ezekiel 1, the vision of the throne, and we see that there's a difference. We see that we've got not just four living creatures, but we got wheels within wheels, and those wheels within wheels have got eyes. And those wheels within wheels, now I have seen so many depictions of these things. Who they are, what they look like. I watched a video not long ago where they were putting it down to this quantum level. It is much more simpler than that. God is not difficult. God is very straightforward. We are the ones that complicate it because we don't pay attention. We, myself included, when I say we, I raise my hand. Well, we're here today. So here we are. All right, so let's take a look at this and see what it is that Ezekiel was told. Now understand, he's got a big thing coming at him. This is not a small deal. This isn't a little bitty vision. This is the throne coming at him. This is authority. There's nothing missing in this authority. Let's take a look at this authority. What kind of authority is in it? Well, we got the rainbows. That's the first covenant. Yes, we are talking a covenant item. What else would be carried? What else would be so holy? We're going to have to go back and see. So let's take a look. For those of you who don't know, I work in the book of Joshua also. I'm considering it canon. And not everybody is going to, and I'm okay with that. But I do yeah, I do want to go ahead and bring it forward that's where we're going to be. I thought I'd bookmark it, and I didn't. But we're going to be looking at Joshua chapter 56. So if you have a copy of Joshua, the book of Joshua, with a PDF or anything else otherwise, feel free to go ahead and get that, because we're going to be using that in chapter 56. And I need to get there because I'm about 20 chapters off. Here we go. That's a little bit closer, I think. Let's see. And we are in a little farther down. So, and this is a really interesting interplay between the two sets of scriptures. I think you guys will enjoy this and see why it is that I think we missed the boat on considering this to be canon. Because we've missed so many things. Now, let me get this to the right place here. What chapter are we? Dun, da, da, da. I'm going to start singing to you if I can't find it, because I can't type and scroll and read at the same time. But I can sing and read at the same time. Isn't that weird? Yeah, that's kind of weird. So what we're going to be talking about is the death of Joseph. Oh, pardon me, not the death of Joseph. Pardon me, death of Jacob in Egypt. And that's where we're going to pick up the story and where we're going to point to when we discuss where this throne room idea came from. What is it that we're seeing? Who is it that we're seeing? Now, there's a lot of people have had all of these nations assigned to these living creatures, and some have said the wheels are like AI, or they're like, you know, mechanisms or hovercrafts or this or that. And the other thing is, no, it's not that. It's a lot more simple and a lot more straightforward than we would imagine. Because, you know, with our Hollywood eyes and our Hollywood ears and our Hollywood thinking with 60 minutes and four commercial interruptions, we tend to lose focus. So we're going to refocus here. So this is Joshua chapter 56, it's going to be starting with verse 7. And this is Joseph is calling his children to him. Jacob. Jacob, I'm going to say that again. Pardon me, guys. I need you to hear the right name. And there's a reason why the names get back and forth. And when we get there, you'll see. On the next day, Jacob again called for his sons, and they all assembled and came to him, this is out of Joshua, and sat before him. And Jacob on that day blessed his sons before his death. Each man did he bless according to his blessing. Behold, it is written in the book of the law of the Lord appertaining to Israel. So the book of Joshua is telling us to look at Genesis 48 and 49. It doesn't name Genesis 48 and 49, but if we go to Genesis 48 and 49, and again, I use the King James Version, when we do that, what we're going to see is the blessings, right, that Jacob put on the heads of his sons. So let me go here to 48. It says, and it came to pass, Genesis 48, verse 1, and it came to pass after these things that one told Joseph, behold, thy father is sick, and he took his two sons with him. Now, this is also where he's going to bless him, and he's going to put his right hand on the younger and his left hand on the older, and he's going to reverse the blessings. This is very important to understand. And what he said was, and I'm going to paraphrase this particular part because it is important, but for the sake of time, I want to paraphrase. So Genesis 48, verse 5, it says, and now thy sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, which were born unto thee in the land of Egypt, before I came unto thee into Egypt, are mine. As Reuben and Simon, they shall be mine. Now, why did he name Reuben and Simon? Reuben and Simon were the first and second born, were they not? Reuben and Simon were the first and second born. Reuben was the one that went up on the couch and slept with his father's concubine, or actually, you know, Beulah. And then Simon, he's the one that went with Levi over to Shechem and hacked everybody down to the ground. And he raised the wall. He raised the ox. It wasn't that he maimed animals. He digged down the wall. He made it very much harder for the roots of Joseph's fruitful bough to get down far enough so that his boughs could reach over the wall. Oh, there's a whole picture that's going on. And Israel knew that they just created a challenge. Now, last week, and I can't remember on which broadcast it was, but I brought up a rarity that the hand is in it when it goes against established law, any act. Well, what happened was Hathor raped their baby sister Dinah, and Simon and Levi lost their minds, came up with a plan, carried out some justice. We might call it extrajudicial justice and far beyond what any of us would expect to be carried out. They slaughtered the two of them. They slaughtered a whole town. It did set the reputation to be feared, the children of Israel to be feared, but it also raised down a wall. They felled a bull. They created a problem. Was the hand of the Lord in it? Yes, but there was woe. A very deep woe. How deep? Well, it was that they're going to be scattered throughout all of their tribes. That's what we're told in all of this blessing. That's what we're told in verse 49, I believe it is. So let's take a look at it. And Jacob called unto his sons and said, gather yourselves together that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. Gather yourselves together and hear, ye sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel your father. Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might, and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity, and the excellency of power. Unstable as water, thou shalt not excel, because thou wentest up to thy father's bed, then defiledest thou it. He went up to my couch. That's what he said. Simon and Levi are brethren. Instruments of cruelty are in their habitations. Oh, my soul, come not thou into their secret. He didn't even want to know. He didn't want any recounting of what was going on because he knew it would make his blood run cold and take him down to the grave in sorrow. Under their assembly, he says, mine honor, be not thou united. So their honor is taken from them. For in their anger they slew a man, and in their self-will they digged down a wall. Now it says in some they felled a chief, and others it says that they, but I believe the correct interpretation is in digging down the wall, it made it more difficult and an obstacle, although it worked together for good. There's also another digged down a wall that we'll talk about in another broadcast. So cursed be their anger, for it was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel. I will divide them. I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. And we know that's what happened with the Levites, don't we? That they were here, there, and everywhere. They didn't have their own place. They didn't have a land. They had to not have some. And Simon wasn't faring much better. He got sifted and scattered through. Now Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand, now we have a hand. Thy hand shall be on the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. So he has a scepter, does he not? Judah is a lion's whelp from the prey, my son. Now there's two different lines going here. One is a golden lion, one is a red lion, and that has to do with the sons. Pharaoh and I forget the other one's name, Pharaoh and Pharaoh, yeah, those two. And so there you have that. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. So Shiloh was another euphemism for Messiah, but it means peace. Right. And the peace shall be the gathering to gather his people to him. So, and then we have more about Judah with foals and donkeys, and some of them bite and ass, and his ass is colt. Could bite under the choice vine. So we have all of these descriptions of those things of Judah. So he's a vine, he's a hand, he's a foal, he washed his garments in the water. So he has all of these things going on as his, as well as milk-white teeth. Now Zebulun, so all of these identities are given to us. And I'm not going to go through all of these because that's for another program. If we have time, the good Lord will, and the creek don't rise. But Joseph, in verse 22, is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well. Oh, my goodness. Whose branches run over the wall. The archers, now here we need to look up here because there's a double entendre. The Holy Spirit is punny. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. Let's pay attention to this one. But his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. This is important. From there is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. His bow abode in strength. I don't believe that this is an archer's bow. I do not believe this is an archer's bow. I do believe that this is the bow of the covenant, that it's a double entendre, that the Holy Spirit's being punny and it works together. Now, all of these things, let's go back to the book of Joshua and talk about this some more. So we have the blessings. We have the identities of the sons, right? We have the identities of the sons. Now let's talk about this. Let's go back to the book of Joshua. That's chapter 56. Now we're in verse 8. And Jacob said unto Judah, I know, my son, that thou art a mighty man for thy brethren. Reign over them, and thy sons shall reign over their sons forever. This is not something that's said lightly. This comes straight from Jacob's mouth to Judah. This is a direct prophetical blessing and declaration of how it's going to be. Only, he says, teach thy sons the bow, my goodness, and all the weapons of war, in order that they may fight the battles of their brother who will rule over his enemies. And again, I charge that this definition is not just the archer's bow, but it is also the covenant. Remember the original covenant way back in Noah's covenant. It's included on the throne. And Jacob again commanded his sons on that day, we're in verse 10, saying, behold, I shall be this day gathered unto my people. He's going to die. Carry me from Egypt and bury me in the cave of Machpelah. Let me clear my throat. as I have commanded you, albeit take heed, I pray you. Now listen, this is important. Howbeit, take heed, I pray you, that none of your sons carry me, only yourselves. And this is the manner you shall do unto me when you carry my body to go out of the land of Canaan, to bury me. Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun shall carry my bier at the eastern side. Reuben, Simon, and Gad at the south. Ephraim, Manasseh, and Benjamin at the west. Dan, Asher, and Naphtali at the north. Verse 13, Levi, carry with you. For he and his sons will carry the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord with the Israelites in the camp. Neither let Joseph, my son, carry. For as a king, so let his glory be, albeit Ephraim and Manasseh shall be in their stead. Thus shall you do unto me when you carry me away. Do not neglect anything of all that I command you, and it shall come to pass when you do this unto me that the Lord will remember you favorably and your children after you forever. And I'm going to say this is true. This is very, very important because they were obedient in this. The next baton that got passed had a pattern of obedience as well. We'll talk about that. Now let's go ahead and come on down here to verse 15. And you, my sons, honor each his brother and his relative and command your children and your children's children after you to serve the Lord of your ancestors all the days in order that you may prolong your days in the land, you and your children and your children's children forever, when you do what is good and upright in the sight of the Lord your God to go in all his ways. And thou, Joseph, my son, forgive, I pray thee, the wrongs of thy brethren and all their misdeeds and the injury that they heaped upon thee, for God intended it for thine and thy children's benefit. And he goes on, he says, leave me not thy brethren in the inhabitants of Egypt, neither hurt. And here it is, of course, then he prophesies about some of the others coming on, but that's not what we're here to talk about today. What we are here to talk about today is his bier. He sat his funeral bier and he told his sons where to carry him. And it was very, very interesting that he says, not your children, but you. Not your children, but you. So let's go ahead and look and see what that carrying pattern looked like. If you're over on Blog Talk Radio, you already see the pattern that's flashing right there in front of your very eyes, and you can see what it is that we're talking about when we're talking about the camp of Israel. And the camp of Israel was arranged in such a manner as the bier that came out of Egypt carrying Jacob. It's kind of an amazing thing to think of. So as the bier came out, it was carried in the same manner Pitt said. When the children of Israel came out of the camp, came out and had camp, and when they had the ark, and they had the tent, and the meetings, and the this and the that, it's laid out in the same way as the funeral bier for Jacob. So the camp of Israel mirrors the funeral bier of Jacob. Interesting to note. Interesting to note. And the leader of one was Judah, just like that. Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun. Dan, Asher, Naphtali. Ephraim, Manasseh, Benjamin. Reuben, Simon, and Gad. So there we have that. So as we look at this, does it not seem reasonable that Judah is a lion? And perhaps it is his face that we see leading three camps. And then we also see Dan with the eagle. And we see Ephraim with the ox. And we see Reuben with the man's face. His face is the face of a man. He has two signias, two banners that represent him. One is a human man. He was the first man from Israel, from Jacob. And the other is water. He's unstable as water. So those are his two epithets. Judah has many more. We're not going to go into them tonight on the broadcast. Dan has both the asp, is, you know, an asp. It wasn't a serpent. It says it's an asp. And an eagle. And depending on what role that he's playing. And then Reuben. Well, we already named that. And then Ephraim, of course, is our ox. And so we have those four faces of the four living creatures. And so would it not be a logical conclusion to draw that the four living creatures are a representation of the laying out on the four corners of the tribes of Israel? Something to think about. Because the representative by those four faces of Reuben, Judah, Dan, and Ephraim. And as far as the hands go, those would be the hands of Judah. Because Judah is the one that has the strength to put his hand on the neck of the enemies, as well as the hand to hold the scepter. So Judah's hands are there. You say, well, he's got a lion face. Yeah, okay, well, let's talk about Ephraim. Because we have cloven feet, right? We have the feet of calves, rather. Not just cloven feet, but the feet of calves. Well, that would be Ephraim. That would be a calf, Ephraim. And isn't Ephraim the one that's walking? He has a walk. He has a purpose. He's a calf. He has to be turned. And he has to stay turned and not kick against the pricks as Paul tried to do. Oh, all of these things are coming together now, are they not? So I think that we have successfully assessed that the four living creatures are the same as those four sides that carried the bier and the same as those four encampments on the north, south, east, and west of the tabernacle. Those tribes, as the four living creatures, say, well, the end of grace, yeah, but there's two wings. Yeah, well, they had to move. The spirit was in them. All those things, the breath of life was in these representations, these likenesses. Now, let's talk about some wheels. There's not a lot of things that the Protestants understand about the Hebrew camp and the Hebrew tent and moving the camp and all of that, and it's just not taught. You know, we kind of go skim through. Oh, interesting story, Samuel, big hair, Samson, pillars. You know, it's kind of like that, almost in a fairy tale mode, not necessarily putting the pieces together. Let me get a drink. So what we see, if we look, take a look and take issue with the picture of Ezekiel's vision where it has the glass and it has the wheeled things on the outside and it has the four living creatures on the inside. What I'm going to suggest to my listeners, if you can visually switch those in the mind and have the wheels internal and the living creatures external, still holding up, we're talking about Ezekiel's vision now. This is Ezekiel's vision. Postulate to you that the four wheels are the four encampments around the covenant, around the ark, around the tabernacle of the Levites. Those are Levites. They are separate, completely separate in their function. Now let's go ahead and talk about some things that are Levitical. You like that idea? Let's talk about the Levites. Let's do that. So with the Levites, there were four descendants from Levi, basically, that's counted. There's also Jochebed, but they don't necessarily bring her into the discussion in all of the texts. So it kind of depends on, it's not depends on who you ask, it depends on which you consult. And it's not that any of them are in error on purpose. But again, it's the value of a woman's word at that time. A lot of the reasons why women weren't held to account is because they didn't have a say. So let me find this little tidbit that I've got here if I can and bring it to you. And having a hard time finding it myself. Well, it'll either pop right up there and be available, or it won't pop right up there and be available. So, but a simple word search, a simple Google search, as it were, will explain, there it is, the lineage, will explain what the Levitical line was. And so what I wanted to say is that in the line of Levi, there were the Gershonites, there were the Kohathites, there was Merari, and then there was also Jochebed, but according to some, they call them the Aaronids, and that would be the ones that was Moses and Aaron and his sons, the close-knit ones. And they were camped around the tabernacle. And they did their priestly things, and they did their visionary things, and all of that. But let's go ahead and define these terms. I want to define the terms because Protestants don't know what the heck we're talking about. They just don't. Protestants have no clue about this unless they've made it a point to study it. So the Merari, let's take a look at that. There was Moses, Aaron, and his sons, and then there was Kohath, and there was Gershon. But I want to talk about specifically, first of all, the Merari. Now, according to the Torah, the Merari was one of the sons of Levi. This is right out of Wikipedia. And the patriarchal founder of the Merarites, one of the four main divisions of the Levites in biblical times. The Hebrew word for Merari means sad, bitter, or strong, in the sense that a dish with a bitter taste might have a strong taste or something. The Merarites, now listen, this is important. This is key. We need to understand this. The Merarites were in charge with the transportation and care of the structural components of the tabernacle. There you have that. Then we have the Gershonites and the Kohathites, of course, and also within the Levitical line with Moses and Aaron and some of the others, Jochebed and Miriam, and they were prophets and prophetesses. And this is where the eyes come through. And it's not just their eyes, but there's a lot of eyes. There's lots of eyes, eyes and eyes and eyes and eyes, eyes of eyes, everywhere. Why? And it's not just one priest. Oh, we're getting closer now, aren't we? So this is the Levitical line. The four divisions of the Levitical line are represented by each of the wheels. Each wheel represents all four lines, just as each living creature represents all 12 tribes. So who are the 24 elders? They're not the 12 tribes of Israel. They're not the 12 patriarchs. And they're not the 12 apostles. They're not the 12 disciples. We'll talk about what they are on the other side of the break. I am your host, Leanna Grace. I hope you're finding value and enjoyment in tonight's broadcast. This is big. This is not a small thing to be bringing the wheels within the wheels and the four living creatures. And, of course, we know the throne is a will, do we? We might want to talk about that on the other side of the break as well. I am your host, Leanna Grace. We're going to take a little bit of a break here. We're probably going to have more than one break because it's getting hot up in the space. You know how that is. So that's what it is. But we're going to go and listen to another song. This is by, I believe it's Phillips, Craig, and Dean. Of course, they're one of my favorites. Their music is absolutely scriptural. So we're going to go ahead and hear their song, You Are God Alone. It's 4 minutes, and we'll be back on the other side. Enjoy.
You are not a God created by human hands. You are not a God dependent on any mortal man. You are not a God in need of anything we can give by your plan. That's just the way it is. Just the way it is. that's what you are.
Amid lies, we seek truth. Amid truth, we awaken. It's Leander Grace Out Loud, because your silence will not protect you. Oh, welcome back here to Holistic Truth. I am your host, Leander Grace, and silence will not protect us. We need to talk about this, and we need to talk about it loud. Share this with your ministers and your preachers. Okay, let's put this through scrutiny. It needs to be true or not true. We need to know this, and I'm going to tell you that this is revealed to me from the Father, and it's like I've been waiting for this one. And the key I found in the book of Joshua, which is Jacob's beer, which is reflected by the arrangement of Israel's camp. So understand that Ezekiel knew exactly what was coming at him. It was everything God had that he could possibly stand to be in the presence of. God came at him with everything, and he held nothing back. He's got everything coming down through heaven, the likeness of this and the likeness of that. And he says, you need to look at this. Pay attention, right? Pay attention. And I'm saying the same to all of my brothers and sisters as we go through this and rightly divide this word of truth. Pay attention, because there's more to listen to. We're going to go back to Ezekiel, but we're going to hit chapter 2. So they put him up on his feet, and then we'll go up into the throne room, and the Father says, let's do it this way so people can understand that this is important. And he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. And the Spirit entered into me, and he spake unto me, and he set me on my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me. And he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this very day. For they are impudent children and stiff-hearted. Send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God. And they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall know that there hath, they shall know that there hath been a prophet among them. And thou, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words, though briars and thorns be with thee, and thou dost dwell among scorpions. Be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. And thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious. But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like the rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat that I give thee. And when I looked, behold, a hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of a book was therein. And he spread it before me, and it was written within and without, and there was written therein lamentations and mourning and woe. And that's enough for that right there. So let's take a look. I wanted to share that because we have become rebellious. We want to do what we want to do. We want things to look like this because it's, I don't know, fill in the blank. There's got to be an adjective. But I'm telling you, the Father wants us to worship in spirit and truth. And if we do not look like his son, he won't know who we are. So let's go ahead and go forward. Revelation 4:7. Let's take a look at this again in Revelation 4 and see if we can't delineate some things with it, see what it is and what it is not. And since we've come up with that very key verses, I think we'll be able to decode this rather quickly to find out the differences between these two visions, the one that Ezekiel had and the one that John's having that's being given to him, none other than Jesus Christ himself. Okay, so, and this, I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. We've got all of that. We've got this and all that. Where is this? This is in heaven. So this is a different location, location, location. Completely different location. Since it's a different location, different rules apply. Now, when we saw this vision occurring in front of Ezekiel, that's on earth. He was over in Kedar. That's where he was. So it was on earth. And when something like the Ark and the Covenant and the King and the Mercy Seat and all these things are being brought down on this platform, yeah, when the children of Israel needed to move, then the Levites would move the Ark. They moved the Ark whenever whenever the camp needed to move. It was the Levites, the wheels within the wheels, the priestly class. Those are the ones who had the prophecy. Those are the ones who would move the Ark of the Covenant and the tabernacle and all the things that are going in. All of the other castes have different operations, but they're all mechanical to the care, the tending, the erecting, the taking down, the otherwise management of the Ark of the Covenant, the management of the tabernacle, of the tent of meeting. Let me get a drink. And that Ark wasn't going to go nowhere, but the Levites weren't in charge of it. And that was the rules. It's not like oddball from, you know, whatever tribe would come up and just start touching stuff. God had zapped them to toast. We know that. It was holy stuff. You don't mix the holy with profane. You don't do it. And God said and gave us this example over and over and over and over. And well, you know the overs. It's over again. That's just the way that is. So let's go ahead and go to Revelation and see what we've got differently. It is in heaven. It's in heaven. So what happened with the creatures? If we know who the players are now, when we're dealing with the living creatures that have the breath of life and the spirit, the living spirit is within the wheels. Oh, you see this picture. So now that they're in heaven, now where did all the eyes go? The eyes, the Levites, the priests that were in the desert, those priests are now part of the representation of the living creatures that are in heaven now. But also, it's interesting to note, is we don't have living creatures with multiple faces. We have four separate living creatures. Oh my goodness. We have four separate living creatures, each representing the same faces that were being represented by the living creatures in the vision of Ezekiel. The exception is we don't have any wheels flying around to make sure nothing touches the ground because we're already in the throne room. It's already in holy ground. It's not going to go nowhere. It's where it belongs, for the sake of all arguments in that regard. So that now the eyeballs join the rest of the aminals, right? Okay, so now we have all of the tribes together. So the 12 tribes are there. The patriarchs are there within the living creatures. We get this now? I think we get this. We can go back and clarify anything else. All right. So that's the living creatures. And we know, you know, the rest pretty much we know some of the other symbology, sort of. But who are these 420 elders? And who are the myriads of myriads? Who are those players? And I've seen some videos on that where these guys are some stalwart, butt-kicking warriors. And, well, that may be a part of them. That's not their function. What do? They bow down and they worship. And they do what? They sing and they bow down and they worship. And then they do what? They sing and they bow down and they worship. That is their function. The 24 elders, that's their function. That's what they do. Who assigned it? So let's go ahead and take a look at Revelation, I believe it's 5:1. And I saw on the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within. Oh, we have something going on again. Within and on the backside. So that's within and without, sealed with seven seals. We have the same. Well, it looks like we have an inheritance factor going on. Yeah, okay. And I saw a strong angel. So that's an angel. How do we know? Because they say it's an angel. It's identified. We don't have to guess who these players are. And I saw a strong angel. Now, we've seen the strong angel before, proclaiming with a loud book who was worthy to open the book. And we had all of this going on and all of this going on. I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but we only have a certain amount of time. We only have a certain amount of time. So we've got 24 elders surrounding the throne, and they worship, and they sing, and they worship, and they sing day and night, "Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." And they give glory over and over and over to him that sat on the throne. Why? And who are they? Who is them anyways, right? So let's take a look and find out who them is anyway, because we know that there's an interim period. We've got the bier of Jacob, then we have the camp of Israel, and then we have the vision of Ezekiel, and the vision of Ezekiel didn't have anything close to 24 elders. It doesn't even have one. It's got Israel. Israel is carrying the Ark of the Covenant there on earth, and that's what I think we're seeing. So when we get to the heavenly scene, who are those 24 elders, and where did they come from? And I want to say, David, thank you. David, thank you. And let's go ahead and turn to, I don't want to get it wrong, 1 Chronicles 23 and 1 Chronicles 24. And 1 Chronicles 27. We're going to take a look at all of those tonight. We may not read them all. We're going to take a look at them all. Because what we will be finding out is that there were 24 chief men who were chosen to head up the courses of priests who are to serve in some of the rotations in the fashion and serving in the temple. Yeah, 18 from one place and 6 from another, or was it 16 from one place and 8 from another? Let's take a look at 1 Chronicles, starting with chapter 23, and let's take a look. 1 Chronicles 23, pardon me. I was only gathered as princes and the Levites. Now the Levites were numbered from the age of 30. It goes through here, and he made up. Of which 24,000, what? Okay, so wait a minute. Now we got courses of priests, 24 courses. And the Levites were numbered from the age of 30, pardon me while I clear my throat, bigger than that, and upward. And their number, yeah, it was pretty smooth, huh? And their number by poles, man by man, was 38,000. And of which 24,000 were to set forward the work of the house of the Lord, and 6,000 were officers and judges. And what we're going to find out as we go through these, all of the assignments of the Lord, let's go ahead and go to 1 Chronicles chapter 24 and verse, oh my goodness, where is it? Yes. So let's start with verse 1. And now these are the divisions of the sons of Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, is going to go through here. And David distributed them both Zadok of the sons of Eleazar and Ahimelech of the sons of Ithamar. So we've got Eleazar and Ithamar. Those are the older ones. They're the fathers, sons of these people. And there were more. This is in 2 Chronicles 24:4. And there were more chief men found of the sons of Eleazar than the sons of Ithamar. So they're saying, this is how much more. And thus they were divided. Among the sons of Eleazar, there were 16 chief men of the houses of their fathers, and 8 among the sons of Ithamar according to the house of their fathers. So we have 24 elders right here representing the complete lineage of priests that were set in line to serve in 24 courses by King David himself. And what are the jobs of a priest? What are the priests doing in the throne room? We've got incense, we've got prayers, we've got vials, we've got lamps, we've got a throne room. What we don't have is a division between the Holy of Holies and those worshiping. Oh my goodness, there's no walls. There's no walls. The Holy One is standing right there in the middle of them. The creatures are hanging out all over, and we got the elders bowing down. Why? Because that's their job. They were assigned that by David. So if you want to know exactly whose sons they are, they're the sons of Levi, but exactly, well, we have Eleazar and Ithamar. And what do their names mean exactly? Let's take a look at that. I haven't looked. So Eleazar is 499. And, oh, look at that. God is helper. Eleazar is the same as the one with Abraham. So Eleazar, God is my helper. And the next one is Ithamar, and Ithamar's name means coast of the palm tree. Oh, of course, the son of Aaron. Of course, that's poignant because we've got figs as tall as palms, but that's another teaching. So it says, thus they were divided by lot. So ladies and gentlemen, when we take a look at all of it, when we take a look at what we're seeing the continuation of Jacob and the camp of Israel. And then we have the camp, the temple itself, adding to that the 420 elders and all of the lineage. You say, well, yeah, but Leanna Grace, we still got myriads and myriads. Where they go? Oh, yeah, we got myriads and myriads. Where do they go? But first of all, let me go ahead and hit this last little scripture here, which is 1 Chronicles 27:1. And there we go. 27:1. Okay. So 1 Chronicles 27, verse 1. Now the children of Israel, after their number, to wit, the chief fathers and the captains of thousands and hundreds, and their officers that served the king in any matter of the courses, which came in and went out month by month throughout all the months of the year of every course, were 24,000. Let me get a drink. Let that sink in. That's not 24,000 total. That's 24,000 per course. 12 or 24 courses, it's a myriad. Those are myriads. That's a bunch. Thousands and thousands. Well, let's take a look at the scripture itself and point out or pick out exactly what is going on in the throne room, exactly what they're pointing to. And I need to get to the word myriad so I can find it, because it's all in there. The same one. It's a quick look. It didn't work that way. not at all. So now I'm going to have to scroll, which is fine. Not really, but it's going to have to be. There we have it. So now we're coming up to Revelation 5, verse 11. And behold, I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders. So we've got those, right? And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. So it's not just angels that are round about the throne. Beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 times 10,000, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And it goes on and continues with the absolute praise and the worthiness of our Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, there is no church. The only thing we have in the throne room is Israel. That's what we've got there. Israel. two kingdoms together. One stick, all together in the throne room with the living creatures. All filled with the eyes because the tribes are together. Represented by priestly classes. So the creatures are the tribes themselves. The beasts, the living creatures, are the patriarchs, the representation of the patriarchs, as they're represented by the living creatures in Ezekiel. This is the picture. This is not a new vision. This is not a new prophecy. This is not any new information that I am bringing to the picture. What I simply did was drop all the way back to find the shadow of the things that were in the throne room. And it was by the help of the Holy Spirit that I found the myriads and the myriads. And when I found the myriads and the myriads, I found the 24 elders. No, pardon me, the other way around. When I found the 24 elders, I found the myriads and the myriads. It's the lineage of Israel. And we are either part of the trees and the witness and the olives and the lamps and all of those beautiful things that the Father has given us through all of the prophets and all of the teachers and all of the yummy things. Choirs, pure worship. If it's not of the Son, he doesn't want to see it. And we can't twist it to fit it into anything that's in these pictures. If it's not in the throne room, it probably doesn't belong as a part of pure worship. If it's not on the bier that's being carried, it probably doesn't belong. If it's not in the camp, it shouldn't be in the camp. Understand, it has been the tribes, us, all through history, bearing, and the Levites bearing the ark on their shoulders as Israel moves through the desert, wherever that may be, wherever Yahweh Elohim led them. And I got to work on my chach, right? I thought I'd say that. Oh, my goodness. So this is what I have. We got a little bit more on the other side of the break. Don't get too antsy and schmancy and do a hula dance or none of that. But the work of the priests are being done in the throne room in Revelation. Let's do Revelation 5:5. Let's take a look at that. Because it says, I wept much. And 4, it says, I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. In Revelation 5:5, and one of the elders saith unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the 7 seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne of the 4 beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God sent forth to all of the earth. And he came and he took the book out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne. And when he had taken the book, the 4 beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, which such are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, "Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth on the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever." And the four beasts said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. Now in the next chapter, the next little thingy there, when we get into Revelation 6, it says, "When I saw the Lamb opened one of the seals," what did we hear? A noise of thunder, and then there's going to be lightnings, and of course it's the same thing that happened in the camp, the same thing. Smoke went up, thunders and lightnings and voices and sayings. So we're seeing it play out. I want to be a part of that choir singing. That, you know, I want to be up there. I want to hear it. But our worship is being required. The closer we get to the then, the more that's being required of us now. We draw closer to God. He draws closer to us. And the closer you get to him, the less you want to see anything that's going on in this world. I love you guys, and I'm bringing this, I was going to say not to challenge you, but oh yes, exactly reason why, is to challenge us, Protestants especially, the Hebrews, they could read this Revelation and you're like, oh yeah, it makes sense, but as Protestants, we have no idea of our Hebrew roots, and I'm not part of any kind of a movement other than a truth of God movement, truth of the scriptures movement, truth of loving one another in Christ movement. Why? Because that's all we've got is the body of Christ, and the body of Christ is Israel. Pick a tribe, any tribe. We're told later on that we get to do that. This is where we are we not? Is this not what we're waiting for? And I know we're getting ready on so many other levels, but are we ready for this? Are we ready? Are y'all ready for this? Is that how it goes? I don't know. But are we ready for this level of purity in worship? To get everything else out that doesn't look like this. And you say, well, where's Jesus? We know where he is. We know who sits on the throne. We know who sits on the throne. To ask that question over and over. There are some other dots that need to be connected because we've got the beginning of the dots in Israel, and then we go to Joseph, and then we go to several other baton wielders that have significant station in this whole story. We'll talk about some of that on the other side of the break. I am your host, Leander Grace. I want to thank you. I hope you're enjoying tonight's broadcast or podcast. Pod people, we love you too. And for those listening remotely, don't know who you are. I know that you are. And the Father says, say hi. So hi. And I'm just really glad we are. There's so many people that are celebrating the birth. And I get that. That's what we've always done. We have given that activity root to where it is almost in our DNA, and we hate to give it up. But it's error. And the only ones that can give error root is us. Now, I want to say this as well, and this is not about hypocrisy or hypocriticalness or being double-minded or double-tongued. But there is also a time and a place for what is the word, Father? Optics. Optics are important, and optics are necessary. Understand that we are in charge of correcting our error, not pointing out the error of somebody else that we think might be there, not unless it's really a gross error and it's obvious. But in all of these topics of the holidays and stuff, let's not grieve one another. But if the Father's speaking to you, listen. If the Father's speaking to you, listen, don't turn your face away. But for all those who are in ignorance or in darkness and don't understand that, the Father will overlook them. For those who have a higher calling, he's calling you a little higher. A little level, a little higher level of devotion. A little more acute focus. Because holy worship is holy. And when we mix the holy and profane, nothing is. Right? When we do that, then nothing is. And we know he's coming back. I am your host, Leanna Grace. We're going to go ahead and go to a quick break. Not a quick break at all. It's going to be just about 5 minutes because it's a beautiful song and it's a reminder of where we are and what it looks like over time. We'll be back on the other side. Holistic truth. Who are the four living creatures? We've got that down. The wheels and the 24 elders is coming back from Israel to the king. Are we ready?
Thank you.
lies we seek truth. Amid truth, we awaken. It's Leander Grace Out Loud, because your silence will not protect you. Oh, no, and having a muted mic doesn't protect us either. Doesn't do a darn thing for the podcast. But I am your host, Leander Grace. Welcome back here. We have just a little bit of a few minutes left in the broadcast, and I want to go ahead and recap all of this because it's a head spinner. You know, it's like, wow. And when I saw this come together, the only thing I could do was praise God. Because it became so clear and I could see it, and he revealed this to me, and I submit it to you guys for your review to see if you see the same thing, and whether you see the same thing or not, I'm pretty sure that the vision is true and the interpretation thereof is sure. So let's go ahead and review. We've got the four living creatures in heaven. We've got the same thing going on in heaven, but at a later time frame. All right, so in the beginning, we've got Jacob's bier, and he's saying, set out the children this way. Make sure it's you guys and not your children. Why? Because they're going to have other jobs to do later on. And he needed to delineate in the scriptures so that we could see that there's two different things happening. There are children happening, and there are elders happening. There are those who carried his bier, and there are those descendants who found themselves in the camp after Egypt and all of those other things. So it's two levels, right, of shadow, right? One is, and the other one's completed. Do it this way. Why was he so insistent to say, make sure your children do not do it, so that when we get to the end of this and we start interpreting this and we start seeing these prophecies and all these symbolisms, we can determine that there is a difference between the living creatures in one place and the living creatures in the other as far as the maturity of the vision. And by the time we get all the way up into the heavens, into the throne room, of course, why then we have lineages being represented, not just individuals, but lineages being represented. We have the lineages of priests and the lineages, and that's where we get the myriads of myriads. And I do believe, yes, the myriads of myriads are going to be angels also, but understand that that was referring to the 24 elders and everyone else that was around the throne. And the very fact that we know that there's only, right, four living creatures, and there's only 24 elders, and it mentions that all of them together in a group make up myriads of myriads. It's not just the angels. So we need to make sure that we understand the predicating adjectives and all of that. Thank goodness Miss Lori in ninth grade taught us how to diagram sentences, right? Or was that just me? So it's because in the diagramming of sentences, prepositionally speaking, one thing can change between a semicolon and a colon, and that's where the associations are sometimes the mixtures. The other thing that gets in the way of us properly seeing prophecy and seeing the symbolisms, we have our preconceived ideas of what these things are supposed to be. I just watched a video the other day as someone was so sure they nailed it. It's like, we're pretty sure that the 24 elders are, where does it say that? The 144,000 from each tribe, we got some myriads happening there, right? But the 144,000 that are sealed from those tribes, they're not mentioned in the, they're not Baptists, they're not Catholic, they're not Presbyterian, they're not evangelical, shoot, closest thing is going to be Pentecostal, but I bet you they're not even that. They are exactly who they are as represented in the scriptures, and us wanting them to represent us in some twisted way is not going to work. It is Israel. Everything from Genesis to the, well, no, there's a mess up in there, and the Israel needed to come, but anyway, it's Israel, children of Israel. God chose Jacob, and here comes Israel. all through the scriptures, Jacob and Israel. It's a beautiful picture to me. I absolutely adore it. And the one that puts all the cherry on top that gets us all the way to the throne room is none other than David. Because he made sure everything was set in order. And by making sure that everything was set in order and documented in Torah, then we have the pattern to go through, the pattern to look at. And the very fact that it was David and not some other Yahoo, you know, it was someone that we're going to pay attention to, it becomes a signpost and a dot to connect. And there we have this whole vision laid out for us. And we are a stubborn and a stiff-necked people, Northern Kingdom. I'm not talking specifically of Judah, although I love my sister Judah, and just as stubborn as we are. They'll tell you. Well, the honest ones are. We're all stubborn. The whole lot of us. There wasn't just two tribes included in that stubbornness. Understand, let me go ahead and clear my throat real big. Understand that at Ezekiel, with everything, he came at them with all of the authority. He came at Ezekiel with all of the tribes, not just the Northern Kingdom. If it was just the Northern Kingdom, then we wouldn't see Judah there. We wouldn't see the lion's face. It wouldn't be necessary. We wouldn't have the hands that are ready for the scepter. And we know that it's in Ezekiel, when we get another about 36 chapters later, he's telling us that he's going to take these two and he's going to make them into one stick. Now, poor Ezekiel, he went through some stuff to get the attention of the children of Israel, and they still wouldn't pay attention. In Isaiah too, but Ezekiel and this one specifically, he went through a lot to bring us this. And whether they would listen or whether they wouldn't, that was his concern. But the hope was that he was sent to a people not of a strange tongue. They talked just the way he did and knew the same things that he did. And so they should understand this vision as well. But God came at him with everything, all the way back to the very first covenant, all the way back to the rainbow, all the way back to that cut covenant in the cloud, which is why the gay flag is so offensive to God. It is an offense. It's not included in the covenant. There are seven colors. There are seven rays. There are seven frequencies. And there are reasons. So anything else is just as cheap imitation and has nothing to do with God. Are we ready for this? Are we ready to get together and give up our doctrines and give up our foolishness and understand that this is the pattern that we've got? There is no other pattern in here. It is the very last book. It was given by Jesus to John to give to us. And here we are. This is what it should look like. And we know the pattern doesn't change. Nobody is slid in there. There's not going to be some lucky evangelical that gets to keep all their self-righteousness and get into the kingdom, because that's not what it says. It says the 24 elders bowed down. They didn't stand up. They bowed down. And then they bowed their heads. Can we do that for the Lord? Can we become humble in him? Can we do that? Or do we want what we want when we want it the way we want it? And God's just going to have to take the second serving, like Cain said. It's an inside job. All of this weighing and all of this counterbalancing and how close or how far, everyone has that to do in their own heart. I'm here not to convince you. I'm here to spread some light. I am your host, Leander Grace. We're going to head out just a little bit early. Got a song to go out with, and I'm real excited about playing that. Let's let those singers take us on out of the studio at the end of the broadcast. I hope you have found value in this. I hope it does add up for you. The vision is clear. It's not a new vision. And the interpretation thereof is sure. I am your host, Leander Grace. It's been my pleasure to bring you the broadcast this evening, podcast, broadcaster, podcast, pod people. We love you too. Those listening remotely don't know who you are. I do know that you are. And I thank you for joining me in the broadcast this evening. I do plan on being, good Lord willing, the creek don't rise. I do plan on being live on air on Friday evening for Scriptures and Scuttlebutts. We're going to talk about the Valley of what? Walking through the Valley of what? We're going to take a look at that particular word, that particular valley, and some of the things we might want to look at, what it may or may not mean. These are the things that we should be thinking on. Now that has been revealed, we should be thinking on these things, shall we not? I am your host, Leander Grace. Until next time, I'm reminding you to, as always, to watch for the signposts, to connect these dots, to find your path, to live in love, and do something good, because we'll all learn to forgive. Till next time, good night. We'll let this little glory dance take us out of the studio.
You, I will go. You are my love.